We heard the tragic news from Muncie, New York, that last night, five Hasidic Jewish individuals were stabbed, all critically. Don't know any of the outcomes from that. Just a few miles up, when the Garden State Parkway ends, you probably think it never ends, but it actually ends just before, of course, the New York line, and it's just a few miles north of there. It's about 3 hours from here. What is it that someone thinks about that a person's faith, or how they practice it, or what their faith leads them to do, would warrant an act of violence? Well, it certainly didn't start today. In fact, we hear from our gospel lesson this morning that violence, because of what someone believes or lives their life as or chooses to do, can stir up violent responses. Jesus might have been killed by Herod in his slaughter of the innocents all around the Bethlehem area had not Joseph been told in a dream to get up and take their child to safety. Now, you might think all Joseph did all day was dream, because you know he is dreaming a lot here. We had dreams, of course, when Mary, his fiancée, was found to be pregnant. He thought, if I just follow all the rules, I should just send Mary away after I bring her up before the local Jewish court and have her, you know, condemned, you know, for her sin and blah, blah, blah. All the other things are just swirling through his mind. He did not know the truth, of course, but he just was assuming, oh my gosh, this is just awful. But an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and warned him, saying, hey, no, I know this is a little unsettling. All your plans are totally shot, what you thought was going to happen, but this is all good news. There's good news in this news. And so please, just go. You go. You go to Bethlehem. You just be safe. You just take Mary. You get her there. It's important. And so here now, the same way, Joseph had a pattern of being so attentive to God that, as the scriptures say, in a dream, in one of those moments. Now, I don't think we have to think about a dream in the same way that maybe you and I may dream. Any of you all write your dreams down? Like maybe in the morning when you get up, you have that pad of really boring dream lives, I guess, is what's going on here. It's a practice. Consider it in the new year. Maybe you might want to do that. Lots to learn from what comes to our mind as we sleep. But this kind of dream, it's an awkward word in Hebrew, and it means in a quiet moment, usually while you're sleeping or at a sleepy time. And so whatever that actual experience was for Joseph, this when an angel of the Lord appeared to him, he was simply open and attentive to God in his life. That's the takeaway. Whether it was in a dream or he got first-class mail or someone tweeted him out a message from God, it was a message that he received and understood to be from God. How do you get messages from God? Right, do any of us really want, in the answer to this question, want to say no? You want to follow God's will for your life, right? But, I mean, like, who would say no to that? I don't know. It's like, sounds good. Of course, then God might reveal his will to us. We might not like it, in which case we might like hesitate a bit. But all of us want to know what God wants for our life. And Paul, when he wrote to the Romans in Rome, but he wrote to a group of house churches in Rome, he said, here's what you do about following Jesus. Let God renew your mind. Let God renew your mind. You follow Jesus the way Jesus followed his plans. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, Paul says. And so whatever way we're attentive to God's Spirit in our life, it comes from reading Scripture. When's the last time you read Scripture other than just to check off, I did my devotions today? But when's the last time you thought and you had a quiet moment? That's plan number one. Build some quiet moments into your day. Might not be able to do it every day. I can hear the complaints coming right now. I'm reading your mind. So no, I don't have quiet moments. I'm sorry. It's not in my life. It's not in this. I'll wait till I get older. I'll wait till I get smarter. I'll wait for the season to pass. I'll wait till I put the Christmas presents away. I'll just wait. No, you build quiet a moment. It doesn't need to take long. But in that quiet time, we can be open to things that otherwise just dart past us. Just, we don't even give it a thought. And there might be some nuggets of insight or some reflection. This is why in our worship service, we have two times, intentional times, of silent reflection. And we do that because, you know, if you just hear people yapping all the time, like, when do you get to process it? In fact, the silent time that we have probably isn't long enough. But if it went any longer, some of us would get restless. I would probably get restless. Come on. Let's get moving. Let's do stuff. But silent reflection is doing stuff. And so reading God's word, being attentive in prayer, having some thoughtful adults, friends, colleagues, spouses in our life can help us take a moment and reflect. Hey, let's think about what that meant. Let's think about what that was. And so we can learn insight. Joseph was someone who had learned that. And so in a dream, an angel appeared and said, Jesus is in danger. Get out of here. You got to move. And what I like the way Matthew, who is a tax collector and very precise in how he tells stories, of course, the message, the dream comes, hey, get Jesus and head to Egypt, the very next verse. And so Joseph got Jesus and Mary and went to Egypt. Do you think he went like just like that? Like, oh, Lord, yes, speak to me. I'm just open to you. Thank you so much for Jesus' birth. Everything's safe. Mary's doing awesome. Thanks so much. And we don't have a clue what's going on. What? Go to Egypt? Are you nuts? Why would I go to Egypt? Well, first of all, it's a great distance. And they had no Amtrak. They had no Frontier Airlines discount airfare. There was absolutely nothing ahead for them but arduous travel by horse or camel. That was it. Oh, sure, we'll go to Egypt. Oh, sure, just let me get right on that. But Joseph said, yes, I will respond because the safety of Jesus is important. The safety of Mary is important. My safety is important. Your safety is important. And that's why we want to be safe when we drive. We want to be safe in our home. But we want to take care of ourselves, of our own personal security. Why online internet safety practice is really, really important. Because Paul, as you reminded the Romans, he said, you got to take care of your mind. You know, we spend so much time with firewalls on our computers. We spend time doing our passwords. Managing passwords is like the new dilemma, you know, for life today. How many times have you had to like reset your password? More than three times in a row. Oh my God, what's that password? Oh yeah, there it is. Sorry, you've tried too many times. You have to do a reset. And now 20 minutes go by and you lost the sale. Yeah, that item you wanted, you know, Macy's just went away because you had to go reset your password for like the fifth time in a row that week. And so the struggles we have to keep our online and home safe, we forget that we need to keep our spirit safe. We need to keep our spiritual life safe. What kind of firewalls do you have to keep your spirit safe? As the writer of the Hebrews said, God just set all this stuff in motion from a long time ago. Several times in our passage today, the writer of the Hebrews says, as it was written long ago, as the prophets had said, all these things that are happening in our life today is because God's involved in our life, not because God's on vacation. And so what can we do this week to pay attention to our spiritual assets so that they're not ignored, so that they're not taken advantage of, so that we don't neglect them? We can read Scripture. Even if we spent 5 minutes a day reading Scripture, would make a huge difference. I don't know what kind of difference. That's up to you. Or say that's too much. I can't possibly do that. How about 5 minutes a week? How about every Sunday afternoon or evening, or pick another day? I'm going to take those 5 minutes right now. I'm going to read the Bible. Start with the Gospel of Mark. Pick up the Gospel of John. Doesn't even matter where you want to read. But just say, I'm going to make a commitment, and then every month add 5 minutes to it. And that is a way for us to be open to what God is doing in our life. It's the simple thing. And I know you think it's not much, but it's sort of like exercise. You don't have to be a marathon runner and start tomorrow, but you could take 5 minutes and walk around your house once. You can maybe just start walking up and down your stairs on purpose instead of having somebody else in your family get that towel or that blanket or the eyeglasses you left upstairs. You could simply spend some time getting your body in motion. And so we have to keep our minds in motion. And Cold Spring Presbyterian Church is here to deliver spiritual resources so that our mind, body, and spirit can be open to what God is doing in our life. So Joseph was super good at this. And we should learn a lesson from Joseph today. But Herod, he was a bad guy. Why do you think he wanted to have Jesus killed? Well, first of all, he was a bad guy. And he had his own issues about his own authority, and he was probably one of the world's most insecure leaders of all time. Because he even had all of his relatives killed, all the male relatives, so that none of them could usurp his throne. He did whatever he had to do to keep in power. He broke laws. He tried to appease the people of Jerusalem by building a new temple, which is really a good thing. Because even bad people can do good things. And actually, at the core of it, God doesn't look at any of us and say, you're a bad person. You're a bad person. We're simply creatures created in his image. God loves us. And so what God would probably say about Herod was, he was one of my image bearers who made some really bad choices in his life. And if only Herod, God might say, had listened to the wise men. If only Herod had repented of his insecurity and said, God, I know you love me. And this throne isn't the end of the day. I mean, I could be a park guide, you know, at the end of the month, and I'd probably have a great life. I don't have to keep protecting my own life on my own, because God has an interest in your spiritual firewalls, your spiritual security, as much as he does your physical security. Herod might have said, God, I know that you love me, and I've been treating these Jewish people just awful. I don't understand their religion and all that hocus pocus stuff, and I don't get the whole thing, but boy, you obviously care about these people. You care about everybody, and I repent. This is why when we read in Scripture, why Jesus reminds us to pray for our enemies. He doesn't tell us in the passage to pray blessings on your enemies. We don't do it just because he said so. We do it because everybody, there is hope. Everybody can make a change. And if we refuse to pray for our enemies or those that harm us, then we're simply saying, the other thing we're saying is that there's no hope for them. And yet here in worship every week, we're reminded that there's hope for everybody. And so we pray for our enemies, not because we like them, not because they're doing good things, but because everybody has a chance to repent and be redeemed. Everybody. And so when Jesus hung on that cross, he did so not only for you and me, and you might say, oh yeah, of course he died for me, look at me. But no, he died for everybody. Because everybody, there is always hope for everyone to repent and to get back on track. And no one is more invested in your success in 2020 than God is. God is rooting for you. He is your number one cheerleader. And God says, just be open and listen to me. Most of us can recall places where our ancestors have come from. What are some countries that are represented in the room today? Ancestors. Going back a few. Well, all right, I was thinking a little more distant than Chicago, but that's awesome. How about back a couple?
Ireland,
that's what I'm looking for, John. How about your family? Scotland, it's wonderful. Yes. Italy, great. Who else? England. England's a nice place. Where's that, Tom?
Austria.
Oh, yeah, that fits you. I think that's pretty classy there. Yes, Esther. Germany, Lenore.
England.
In Iberia, you said, Esther? Wow, that sounds fancy.
Portugal
is good. I like that place. Yes.
Lithuania.
I can't even spell that. Yes. Poland, wonderful. Anybody else?
Sweden.
Nice. Germany, excellent. I'm from Switzerland. Melissa's from Scotland. And so anyway, we all come from all these different places. Our nation wouldn't even be here today if people didn't come from somewhere. Now, let's not forget our first native visitor or residents that were here. That, honestly, we treated them miserably. So they were here first, but they came from somewhere. And this is their home. And then we arrived, and this has become our home. That, did you know today, for example, that there is thousands and thousands and thousands of people fleeing their homes today for the very same reason that Mary and Joseph took Jesus to go to Egypt, to avoid political persecution, for their own safety. There are people crossing borders, some legally, some not. We hear tragic stories of people getting on boats, on dinghies, traveling from, say, from Turkey, trying to get across the Aegean Sea to some island owned by Greece. The island of Kos comes to mind. And this island is only like five or six miles away from the Turkish border, but it's a Greek island. And even getting across what, comparatively speaking, is a short ride, people have lost their lives in order to get to a place of safety. And so immigration is part of our story. It's part of our story here in Cold Spring. You know, this church was always here. Did you know that? It feels that way, but it wasn't. We're entering our 306th year. There are people that came to this place from Philadelphia and from New York. They came to settle this particular area, and most of them came for the whales. Well, we got rid of the whales like we did the Indians. But in any case, we have come here and we are living here and this has become our home. But we wouldn't have been here if we didn't come from somewhere else. Jesus knows what it's like to be an immigrant. He knows what political oppression is about. He knows what racial discrimination is about. He knows the pain that our Hasidic friends up in Muncie, New York, the families that have been devastated by this act of violence. He knows precisely what it means to be persecuted and to have violence caused to you because of your religious faith. The Jewish people have experienced this for the longest time. But we also know that there's plenty of others, like the Armenians in Turkey, the Kurds in Turkey, so many others across the country. Think about the violence in Somalia, the violence in West Africa, the violence that just extends. And so often, even in Ireland, with the Catholic and the Protestant wars that have been in our recent history. Because of what we believe causes some of us to rile in violence. And here's baby Jesus being whooshed away to Egypt for his safety. If you ever doubt Jesus knows what life is like for you, just I hope you can dispel that mistaken, that myth. Because Jesus knows exactly what it's like to be you. He knows exactly what it's like to be me. And we can't be a disciple of Jesus if we aren't also a citizen. That discipleship and citizenship matter. And that our affiliation with a nation, our affiliation with a country, with a community, with calling Cape May our home, or wherever it is that we call home, is important. We can't follow Jesus if we haven't become a good neighbor. Jesus knows what it's like to have a spiritual life, but also a physical life and a mental life. And so this Sunday, this first Sunday after Christmas, we think about safety. What will you do this week to stay safe? And not only to stay safe, but also to thrive, to have your spiritual life thrive, your physical life thrive, your mental life, and all the other aspects and components and compartments in our life. That God has come to bring shalom, to bring peace. And peace is not the absence of war, but it's when all the different parts of our life are all in the balance that it should be. I thank God for Joseph and being attentive to God's Spirit. And I thank you for being attentive to God's Spirit in your life too. Think of the blessings that will come through you. Let us pray.